Hello today. What's going on, St. Louis and beyond? Bernie Miklas here with another Bernie video on my YouTube channel. Thank you very much, as always. Please support us by subscribing, telling your friends, family about it, recommending it, sharing it, and hit the like button. We like that. The comments are great. Keep them coming. One of the things I do late at night now is make sure I read all the comments and then I respond to as many as I can. Anyway, this is a warning. You probably, not all of you, but some of you, maybe many of you, probably ain't going to like this video too much, but that's why you got to comment. Go in there and offer your dissent. It's always welcome. All right, so you're thinking, what's he got up his sleeve today? Well, I'm going to defend Ali Marmol a little bit. And again, I know that's probably a very, very unpopular view and probably not going to be good for my views of this video, because when people, you know, hear what it's about or find out what it's about, they'll probably just get mad. And just don't smash your own laptop or tablet or smartphone, okay? Just don't do that. Just you can be nasty towards me. Don't get too personal, but that's all right. I'm just kidding. Well, here's the deal. I'm not sitting here telling you that Ali Marmol is Whitey Herzog, Tony La Russa, Mike Schilt, Earl Weaver, you know, managers that I've covered and have, you know, respected a lot. I'm not saying he's one of the best managers in baseball. And I'm not saying that no matter what happens at the end of the season, like he must be fired. I'm not saying that, but I'm also not saying he should stay on no matter what. And that's not having it both ways. It's just the reality of the situation. We do not know who will be making those decisions in terms of Cardinals ownership and front office. Is John Mozeliak going to make the decision? Will it be Chaim Bloom? I'm on record as saying, and I'm going to say it again, I believe as a matter of principle and policy that if Chaim Bloom is put in charge of the baseball operation in preparation for 2025, whatever new guy like Chaim Bloom is running the baseball operation, he should have the freedom and the authority to hire his own manager. If he wants to replace Marmol, I think that's just the way it goes. Tough stuff. But you don't give a guy a job and tell him to run the baseball operation and say, well, we want to keep Marmol. What do you think of him? And if Chaim Bloom would say, well, I like him. You know, I think we can do better or something like that. You know, what if they push back and say, well, we really want to keep them. So that's the thing. We always want to go with this. It's got to be black or white. There's no gray area. There's a lot of gray area in this, right? Because we can't determine his future until we determine who's really in charge after the season. If they move Mo to the side, well, then it'll be up to Chaim Bloom. So that's number one. This isn't me adamantly or passionately defending Ali Marmol and saying he's a fantastic manager. I'm not saying that, but I think he is better than he gets credit for. And before I get into some of the particulars, let me just put it to you this way. I was doing, we did Seeing Red earlier this week with my good friend Will Leach. You can, by the way, all you got to do is follow @SeeingRedPod, or you go to Apple, Spotify, wherever. You'll find it. Will Leach and I do that once a week. And we were answering some emails to the show, and it was really good stuff. And one person was saying, like, you just don't like Ali Marmol, period. And that's another big factor in this. I know Ali Marmol is not popular, and I hear it a lot, and this is based on correspondence and things that I receive from fans, and I really appreciate the fact people let me know what they think. Even if they disagree, that's totally cool. And what I said on the podcast, and I'll repeat it here, is that if you believe you got to make a change just for the sake of making a change after two disappointing seasons, okay, I understand that. That view to me has merit. And just as there is John Mozeliak fatigue, there is obviously Ali Marmol fatigue, because he is associated, those two are associated in a very, you know, a very prominent way, because Mozeliak, the Cardinals drafted him and Mozeliak gave him his first coaching job. And then he put him in charge as a manager in the minor league system after he was coaching, then he became a minor league manager. And then he promoted him to the big club and he was first base coach. Then he was the bench coach. And when when Schilt and Mozeliak, you know, got into their philosophical differences, and Mo fired Schilty, then I predicted it the day it happened. Oh, he's going to promote Marmol. And that's what he did. So John Mozeliak is so unpopular, and people are just burned out on him. He's been in the job a long time. It's like, as I've pointed out, the only guy in Major League Baseball that has been running a team in terms of the baseball operation longer than John Mozeliak is Brian Cashman in the Yankees. He's been doing that since the late 90s. So I totally get, number one, you make a change just for the sake of making a change. Cardinals need to present something new next season, right? The other thing, number two, I totally get it why you are down on Ali Marmol, because you just cannot sort of separate him from Mozeliak. Again, I think I'm a fair guy, and for me to say, well, that's ridiculous, you know. No, I get it. I totally get it. But that's the one side of this, like me understanding why some want him out. And why I understand why they want him out. But what I'm wanted to talk about today, just in terms of the actual baseball stuff, I mean, forget about the alignment of Mo and Marmol and how Mo, you know, basically brought him along every step of the way in his career as a coach and a manager. Okay. In terms of the job he's done this year, first of all, listen, I am going to say one thing and be a little cranky about this. I don't want to hear about, well, you can tell me about it, but I'm not going to be a phony and say, oh, that's a great point. Over the course of 162 games, every manager is going to screw up. Over the course of 162 games, we all are going to have 20,000 second guesses of managerial decisions. But that's baseball. That's been going on since the sport started. I'm sure, you know, back in whatever field it was, where they started playing first games. It's a dispute over that. I'm sure there were people sitting on the hill saying, oh, I can't believe that he didn't take that pitcher out. That's baseball, man. And just because any manager brings in a reliever and on that night, the reliever just gets blown up. Does that mean that the manager was wrong in bringing the reliever in? Maybe sometimes, but a lot of times, Tony La Russa, I learned this from him and learned this from watching him, which is, you know, you can make the right decision, the good decision, but it's not always going to work. You know, it's whether you had reasons to make the decision based on everything that happened going into that decision over the season or in a series, whatever. So the one thing I guess I've evolved in terms of that, and some of you, you know, can disagree, and that's totally cool. But I just don't do this anymore. I don't want to do it. And this goes back a long way, which is like, just because a move doesn't work, well, that means a manager's terrible. No, I don't do that. I don't do that. Yeah, managers, including this one, make some terrible decisions. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely. But managers got to make, how many, I'd love to know, like, you know, rough estimate on how many thousands and thousands of decisions they have to make over 162 games. And they're not all going to work. And some of the more high profile failures, well, as long as the manager had a good reason for making the decision, even though it turned out poorly, that doesn't mean he's a knucklehead for bringing the guy in or not pulling a pitcher or whatever. So that's not going to go over well, me saying what I say, but it's just kind of, to me, silly that, you know, every time a manager makes a move that doesn't work, that means he's a stupid manager. No, it's just not realistic or fair. So I have empathy for Marmol, and I've said this on previous videos here, and I've also, you know, written this over at scoopsnetwork.com. Please check that out. I have say, well, why do you have empathy? I have empathy because all of us, including, I assume, many of you, don't like the roster the Cardinals have. When John Mozeliak went out this winter and he signed three veteran free agent starting pitchers, Gray, Lynn, and Gibson, I like the moves, but I also recognize that the test would come over 162 games. But a lot of you didn't like the moves, or you said, hey, you know, Gray's fine, but you needed to get somebody better to maybe, you know, instead of a Lynn or a Gibson, get somebody better than one of those two, spend more money. Well, there you go. Mozeliak isn't in charge. He doesn't dictate how much they're going to spend. That decision's made above him by Bill DeWitt. And Ali Marmol certainly, Ali Marmol's going to tell John Mozeliak, oh, no, we don't need a premium starter. I'm really happy to get Lance Lynn. You know, what do you think? You think Marmol thinks that? So Ali Marmol's had to work with this rotation that had a lot of age in it at the start of the year. And I think we all agreed, whether you liked the signings at the time or not, I think we all agreed that we'd find out as the season went along. Can these guys hold up? You know, can they maintain a good performance, solid performance over a long period of time? Well, here's the answer. The answer is no. I've written about it, talked about it here on the Bernie Show. You know, the first 3 months of the season, the Cardinals were like middle of the pack in terms of starting rotation. I think it's like 16th or 17th. And the ERA was fine. I mean, it was solid enough. They had a good number of quality starts. 4.18 ERA, and let's be honest here. That's also with Miles Michaelis in there, and that's also with early on the first month, Steven Matz in there. And so if we didn't, and I'm saying we, you know, collectively, if we didn't like the signings, or we thought that they needed to, you know, maybe sign two of those guys, but go get a better pitcher, starting pitcher instead for the third signing. If we all agree with that, then don't we also agree that Ali Marmol has, you know, has no choice but to work with what he's been given to work with? The entire roster, the starting rotation, some other areas, the bench at the beginning of the season. I don't think we can have it both ways. I mean, here's a guy that, and I would be saying this, understand this, please. I would be saying this about anybody who was managing the St. Louis Cardinals. I would. You know, since the start of July, the Cardinals ranked 26th in starting pitching ERA, just under 5 runs over 9 innings. 26th. So just as many of you wondered about, I wondered about, could they hold up? The answer is no. But again, he started the season with Miles Michaelis in the rotation because Miles Michaelis is going to be in the rotation no matter who the hell manages the team, because the Cardinals are paying him and their payroll politics dictate, well, it doesn't matter. He's got to stay in there. We're paying him. He was stuck with Steven Matz for the first month of the season. And Steven Matz, another, you know, payroll politics guy. Well, we're paying him. We paid him, you know, 11, you know, 4 years, $44 million. No. He's going to be in the rotation. So that's the understanding. So you have these older pitchers, and Michaelis included. You know, you got 4 older starters. None of them have held up well as the season goes on. Sonny Gray pitched a great hell of a game last night in Milwaukee, but This is a guy who's been terrific at Busch Stadium, and this is supposed to be your ace, but he has been, last night was absolutely an exception. He has been awful on the road. That's not an ace. When you have an ERA on the road that's over five and you give up all those home runs on the road, although he did not give up one, thankfully, last night, how is that the manager's fault? You know, Sonny Gray's history has always been pretty good on the road, and a nice career ERA on the road up until this year. So I'm not sure exactly what you're going to do with that. I'm talking about a manager. What are you going to do? The assumption is that Sonny Gray will pitch pretty well everywhere, and he has pitched well at Busch Stadium. What a manager is going to say, well, I'll never start him on the road because he's had a few bad starts, and that's it. I'm pulling him from the rotation. No, that didn't happen. It's not realistic. So he stuck with Michaelis. He stuck with Mats again. And then they're depending on three older stars, all of whom have shown signs of deterioration as the season has gone along. So that's the rotation part of this. Then you look at the lineup. Is overall, as we talked about yesterday, you know, Paul Goldschmidt has been really good since the beginning of July and really, really good since the beginning of August. Okay, but, you know, the first 3 months, as many of you told me in your comments, the first 3 months mattered. You can't just like dismiss them, and I agree. So it's been a down season based on career standards for Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. Is that Marmol's fault, or is that just two guys, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, getting older? And Arenado got a lot older sooner in terms of quality of performance than people thought. Is that his fault? I would say no. Is it his fault that Lars Nootbaar gets hurt all the time and has to go to the side and mend on the IL, and that interrupts everything about his hitting? You know, he can't get in the rhythm, can't get in the groove. Is that Marmol's fault? No. Is it his fault that he was stuck with Dylan Carlson and that situation, which I don't need to review? No, not at all. I don't find any fault in the way Dylan Carlson flamed out here in terms of Ollie Marmol. And Dylan Carlson's another guy, couldn't stay healthy. Is that the manager's fault? No, it is not the manager's fault. And then you have Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman. Listen, Nolan Gorman last year, what did he hit? 27 home runs, slugged 478, 480, something like that. I don't think anybody realistically thought he was just going to go over the cliff as much as he did, as severely as he did. Now, we can all pretend that we thought, oh, yeah, I don't care that he had a really good second season. He's going to be awful this coming season. If any of you said that, I'm going to have to ask you to take a polygraph. Right? Walker, this has been a riddle, and I think Ollie Marmol can be criticized for some of that. You got to be more patient with younger hitters, just the way we've seen with some other younger hitters and other organizations and teams. So I'm not going to let him off the hook for the Jordan Walker stuff and this idea that he went along with when they brought Walker back up the first time. No, we're not going to play him every day. We're going to platoon him, even though as a right-handed hitter, he's a much better hitter in his career against right-handed pitching, including the minor league. So it made no sense. That was stupid. And that's something definitely I would pin on Ollie Marmol. But, you know, I'm reading national media stuff going into the season, and they're saying, boy, the Cardinals have two great young hitters. They this could be a huge breakout season for Walker. You know, Nolan Gorman will continue to get better, hit for power, blah, blah, blah. And it didn't work out. Is some of this coaching at the major league level? Well, absolutely. And I believe that they need to make some changes there because there's too many young hitters that have gone off the track. Do we hold Marmol accountable for that? I think we do to a point. But I think it's in one of those situations where when you sort of have Turner Ward and it's kind of an awkward situation because the veterans like him and people say, well, it doesn't matter what the veterans say. Well, actually it kind of does. And you also have to answer to the front office and what they think about it. But if you want to say, well, one of the problems here has been the hitting coach and Marmol has something to do with that, I would agree. Like I said, I'm not in a tank for anybody here. I try to be objective. But no matter what the reasons were, when you have down seasons from your core veterans who finished first and third in the MVP award National League in 2022, and they just go this year, not his fault. When you're two young guys who have shown, like Walker showed last year, when he came back up, you know, his final 30 games, his final couple months were outstanding. Gorman really did some terrific things last year. Well, it was reasonable to expect that they would grow and they would continue the promising things that we saw from them last year, but it didn't happen. So if you're a manager, you have an offense that just isn't that good, well, what do we expect here? Your two franchise cornerstones are down. Your two young next wave, next generation core nucleus hitters, Gorman and Walker, both had to go back down to the minors. Nootbaar's hurt all the time. You get stuck with Dylan Carlson. Brendan Donovan has kind of scuffled this year. He's been good, and then, you know, he kind of goes down, and then he's good, he goes down. So how much of that is the manager's responsibility? And I would ask you that. And the situation is, you also have to give, I have to give, you don't have to do anything. It's whether you agree or not. I mean, again, that's fine if we disagree. Ali Marmol totally, 100% behind Mason Winn. I mean, last offseason, my goodness, because Mason Winn hit 172 late in the year. It's all that. I can't believe that they're going to play him. And Marmol is very, very confident. So, no, this guy's got a chance to be really special. He's a really tough young player. And he knows how to make adjustments, and he's terrific defensively. We're going with him. That's our shortstop. End of story. The whole Brandon Crawford coming in to mentor Wynn wasn't necessary because Wynn's mature and intelligent beyond his years, and we all agree with that. What about the fact that Marmol said, you know what, I'm playing Mike Ciani in center field. Now, people can say, well, he had no choice. That maybe that's true, but he didn't have to stick with him, right? He didn't have to stick with him. And after last night's win, you know, the Cardinals are now 9 games over 500 when Michael Ciani starts in the outfield. 9 games over 500. His defense is exceptional. His hitting has gotten better and better and better. And I think that the manager gets at least a tip of the cap for that decision, even though he didn't have a lot of options. I agree. And I just look at it as an overall roster situation. If we all agree that this roster is not nearly as good as it should have been, and we were saying that going into the season, well, do you cut the manager some slack for that? Why would you expect him to win big with a roster that we all thought was really flawed, correct? A rotation that had a lot of questions, and boy, they're old. These guys are going to run out of gas. We all thought that before the season. That was a distinct possibility, but that's what he was handed. You see what I'm saying? You know, and it's funny how once they cleared Brandon Crawford out of here, for example, and they gave a chance, and John Mozeliak makes the decision to bring Lucan Baker up, and he made the decision not to bring him up sooner. That ain't the manager. Lucan Baker has been absolutely fantastic since he came up as a bench player. And we saw it again last night. He pinch hit. Marmol made a great move, by the way, bringing him in. And he wins a game with the single in, where were they, in 10th inning? Yeah, I think so. So he was given a nice bench piece to work with, finally. And we all said, you got to bring this guy up and give him a chance. And they finally brought him up way too late. And Baker's all of a sudden giving them a real weapon off the bench, right? So these are just some of the things I'm asking you to think about, why you wonder, you know, why I'm not screaming and hollering about Ali Marmol. Oh, he's got to go. He's the worst manager I've ever seen in my 60-plus years on the face of the earth. No, I'm not. No. I can't do it. I got to try to be fair. The one thing, and this is going long here, but it's all right because we've got a lot to talk about. And I'll try to go through this quickly. The one thing I will tell you, the number one thing that grates me overall about where I think it's really unfair is when people just, every time something happens with the bullpen, well, that move didn't work. This guy's an idiot for bringing him in. You know, like we talked about that earlier. I just can't believe the number of people, frankly, I can't believe the number of people that say or think, he don't know how to run a bullpen. What do you base that on? Could you share that with me? Now, again, are you talking about individual moves over the course of the season? Yeah, all 30 managers have individual moves, a lot of them that blow up when it comes to bullpen decision. This isn't just a St. Louis thing. I'm sorry, I'm being snotty. Let me just throw through things. If he's so bad at running a bullpen, all right, and that's what I hear all the time, and I'm like scratching my head. What do you have something to back that up with? Or are you just venting, or are you just blustering, or you just don't like Ollie, period? All right, the Cardinals this year, they are sixth overall in bullpen ERA. They have one of the lowest home run rates, less than one home run per nine innings allowed by the bullpen. Their win probability added, which means, hey, did you help your team's chances with this reliever? Was this something that would enhance your chances of winning? Win probability added is always something I always look to assess whether the bullpen's getting it done, and by extension, whether the manager's using the bullpen properly. The Cardinals are number eight in the majors at win probability added for their bullpen. They're number five, in shutdowns by their bullpen. They, of course, lead the major leagues in saves, and yeah, that's Ryan Helsley. I get that. But didn't Ollie Marmol and Ryan Helsley get together and put a schedule together about what would work best for him to maximize his performance? Does the manager get a tip of the cap for that? I would say absolutely. But Ryan Helsley's the one making the pitches. But I think Marmol helped him out a little bit with making sure that he wouldn't be pitching on days he shouldn't be pitching. If he's so bad at running a bullpen, let me ask you this. Why are the Cardinals 55-3 when they have a lead going into, or let me say this, rephrase, why are they 55-3 when they have a lead through the seventh inning? That's like the sixth best winning percentage in the majors. Other than Ryan Helsley, because keep in mind, you know, Ollie Marmol's had to use other people at times in the ninth inning, 10th inning, whatever. Cardinals are 57-1 when they have a lead through eight innings. They have the most saves. They're in the top 10 in save percentage. They're fourth in holds, and that's not Ryan Helsley. That's the other guys that build that bridge to Helsley, and the Cardinals are fourth in baseball for building that bridge, is a way to speak metaphorically. This bullpen's also performed well. I won't read numbers. You have to take my word. They've performed well when pitching with runners in scoring position. And in high leverage situations, which is the toughest spot for a reliever, high leverage situations, the Cardinals have the eighth best ERA. Their bullpen has the best ERA in baseball. So my point is, explain to me, other than you didn't like this move, which again, that's baseball, that's cool. But explain to me, tell me how he's lousy at handling a bullpen. I mean, he's cultivated, you know, Ryan Fernandez. He's made good use of Andrew Kittredge. He gave Jojo Romero time off when Jojo Romero needed time off because he was kind of burned out, pitched out for a while. And I know Romero gave up a home run last night. Oh, Marmol's a terrible manager because Romero threw a meatball. But he kind of revived Romero on the fly during the season. And, you know, I wondered whether that would happen, and he did. But he's cultivated some other younger relievers that have done a good job. You know, Matthew Libertor, all right, he had that day at Yankee Stadium. Sunday where he was charged with four earned runs. Now, if you are really going to be fair in your mind and your heart, it was a weird inning. I mean, there were ground ball singles. There was a ground ball that just to a spot near the mound that Libertor couldn't get to. I mean, there was a, you know, there was one bullet hit by Aaron Judge, but I mean, there was a lot of weird stuff. I give Libertor a mulligan for that, and because I think it was a lot of bad ball luck. You know that other than the Yankee Stadium weirdness the other day, in his 14th, his other 14 relief appearances over that time where he's made 15 relief appearances, that was the only bad one. In the other 14 relief appearances, he's allowed one run. Marmol has cultivated Libertor into being a highly effective reliever. He's put him in those positions. So, listen, man, I could go on and on and on about this. I've already talked too long, but you know, my point again is not to say, oh, Ollie's great. Oh my goodness, he's great. But this team does continue to fight, and I appreciate that. You know, they've won six out of their last eight. They're 4-0-1 in their last five series, and all of those series were played against teams that are going to be in the postseason this year. You know, so it's not all bad. And just with the case of the manager, it's not all bad. He does some good things that he doesn't get credit for. He also does the best with what he has been given to work with by the front office, pretty much does the best that he could. And yeah, there's a couple things I don't like either. Looking at the totality of the performance, and I don't think that the Cardinals, if they miss the playoffs, what it looks like they will, certainly, I don't think it's because Ollie Marmol. I think it's because of the people above him. Anyway, that's my long take on this. I hope you didn't mind it. Thank you if you stuck with me this long. And please leave comments. Always appreciate it. We'll be back maybe later. Who knows? I always say that. We'll be back, though. Certainly no later than tomorrow morning. Thank you very much.